Thank you, bells. Speaking about waking up, right? Are we awake? Oh, yes. Well, I have to make a confession. I really am crazy about Advent. A little odd. I know people who don't even know what Advent is. But I love Advent almost as much as I love Lent, and I found out this week that it looks like Starbucks. Can you imagine that Starbucks loves Advent too? Because this year, they're issuing a new cup size, Advente. But seriously, what I like about Advent, what I like about Lent, is that they remind us that the journey is often just as important as the destination. And I believe, and I want to encourage and maybe give you some things to go on today, that the quality of our Christmas this year depends on what leads up to Christmas. So that's my little cheerleading for Advent. And I'm hoping that you won't just plow through that time thinking even now that you don't have enough time to do everything that you need to do, want to do, have to do. So what is it about this particular time and about what's coming? What can we hope for? Ella and Maria and Scott lit the first Advent candle, the candle of hope. What is it we can hope for? So God gives us these words from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples." And these words made famous, "They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. So with this reading and the one that we heard earlier from Romans, we are beginning a new preaching series where we will be exploring the gifts that God has given us, most especially, or culminating, I guess I would say, culminating in the gift of Jesus Christ that we will be celebrating on Christmas, a gift from God's own heart. And what does that mean, to have a gift from God, especially a gift from God's own heart? In fact, I wonder if we might consider asking the question, as a church, as a community of faith, each one of us, how might we respond to God's gift? And how are we responding to God's gifts? And so we start with this amazing picture. actually a series of images that the prophet Isaiah paints for us as he saw, those are the words, he saw the word of God. It's a very hopeful picture because it shows people from all nations coming together and coming to God, coming of their own free will, encouraging others to come with conversation, coming to learn from God, and coming to commit themselves to following God's teachings. So here we have clearly God, the teacher, also the God who helps people with their differences, sorting out and deciding on next steps. In this prophetic pulling back of the curtain, we see God's plan for the future. The future here, the future for each of us, the future for the world. All people living together, living in harmony. And this comes, we are told, from Isaiah, not from some wishful thinking, but from practical knowledge, what we learn if we listen to God and follow in his teachings. From God's word, the authority both to us and for us. Hopefully we still remember some bits and pieces, some images, and maybe even some Bible verses from the series that Cody finished up last week on words to remember, that the Bible is full of God's teachings that we can use in our lives, whatever is going on, if we could only remember to do that. But here, in this passage from Isaiah, we have one of the first lessons, I think, absolutely a foundational lesson. We learn that it is God's instruction and our learning that will be the foundation of peace. A peace that brings all different kinds of people together, connecting and unifying them, unifying us. Once all people learn and live God's teachings, they will no longer need weapons of war. Their weapons, Isaiah prophesies, will be transformed into tools of sustenance and growth. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. That is God's plan for the future in the days to come. And Paul's letter to the Romans also speaks to us about timing, encouraging us to wake up. So we may think that we are awake, but are we really, or are we just doing the best we can to do what needs to be done, to go along, to get along? This waking up that Paul talks about in his letter to the Romans is a kind of paying keener attention to the time that we have. Maybe reminding us to put things first, reminding us that every day, including every day that starts today with Advent, is precious, for every day is a gift from God. How will we respond to God's gift of this Advent season? We have about 24 days. How can we learn and live God's teachings so that what we do becomes part of the foundation of peace? And never doubt that you, as one person, or all of us, as the body of faith, can't contribute a great deal to that foundation of faith? How can we come together to the mountain of our God? Well, I was thinking that maybe a tidy package would be helpful. We can hold it in our hands. We can open it over coffee. We can take it to bed. We can take it on a trip. That's it. A tiny package for each person. Something that can help us stay focused this time of year when there are so many to-do lists, when there are so many distractions. A tiny package to shield us from the adverse messages that are all around us, even now, and from the distractions and the pressure to be diverted from what is most important, what we can do to lay the foundation of peace. Everyone here, actually, before you leave today, will receive that tiny package to take home with you. We have one for everyone. You'll receive it at the end of the service during the bell's beautiful postlude. It's called a reverse offering. And the tiny package is called Straw for the Manger. And it comes to us from Presbyterians Today. It's their 2019 Advent devotional. And we, as your elders and deacons, we, as your church staff, chose it because we believe that it is both timely and timeless. We chose it because you can use it on your own and you can enjoy it together. We chose it because whether you're 3 or 93, you can participate. We also chose it because it gave Dan Smith and Doug Lemieux the opportunity to make a beautiful life-size manger, which they laid in Chandler Hall and which you saw Kate use during the children's time. And while that is a beautiful gift in and of itself, it's going to be more than that. It's going to be the place where we prepare for the coming gift from God in the gift we anticipate being born again in us, born again as we celebrate Christmas. Here's how that tidy package of a devotional works with the manger in Chandler Hall. One of God's most important teachings, you've heard me talk about it here before, is in the Gospel of Matthew. It's actually Matthew 25, and you know it. It goes something like this. Feed the hungry, whatever the hunger is, and clothe the naked, whatever the nakedness is. And it is shelter the homeless, whatever the homelessness is. Visit the sick, whatever the sickness is. And free the captives, whatever the form of captivity. And Jesus tells us that when we do any of those things, variations on the theme of those things, whenever we do it for someone else, Jesus says, you do that for me. You do that for me. And I think we dream about being part of some important cause, or we dream about helping our neighbor. And I'd say we are very good at dreaming. But remember the passage from Romans Wake up. It's one thing to dream. Now is the time. Now is the time we will begin today, the first Sunday of Advent, to more intentionally wake up and make those dreams a reality. We already know that learning and following God's teaching is foundational to peace and God's plan, his vivid, hopeful plan for unity and harmony of all people. So the idea is to take the Matthew 25 passage to heart as we walk this path with God to Christmas. When we take the opportunity to serve our neighbor, when we do something nice for someone in need, maybe when we go out of our way or set some of our time aside for something else, when we take the extra step to be kind and helpful, I want to invite you, as Kate invited the children, because this is going to be a whole church effort, children, youth, everybody, 3 to 93 and beyond. I want to invite you to write down on that slip of paper. You can see them. They're already put when they decorated the church. They put some of them in the pew pockets. Can you see them in there? Little strips of paper folded over. Because while you're sitting there, dozing off and coming to during the sermon, you might just want to write a little something down. And then once you've written it down, just toss it in the manger. We want that manger just overflowing with acts of love and kindness. Each and every time you live out Matthew 25, in every small or even big way, write it on a separate slip of paper. And each of these slips of paper is going to be straw for the manger. It is our way, a very tactile way of getting ourselves individually and as a whole church ready for the birth of Jesus Christ again as we celebrate Christmas and as he is born again in our hearts. We're lining the manger with love for God out of the gratitude of the gifts that God has given us, gifts of time and gifts of God's own teaching, preparing ourselves for the gift from God's own heart, the Christ child. There are pictures in your bulletin. Of course, you can look at them now and listen to me both, you know. So there are pictures in your insert about what I'm talking about. You already saw the manger. And there's just a wonderful little introduction in the beginning of the devotional straw for the manger, which I think you'll enjoy. And one of the songs that's nearest to my heart at Advent, it maybe doesn't have the most upbeat title. It's called In the Bleak Midwinter. But if you can just kind of willingly suspend your disbelief about that. I love that song, and I want to share it with you now. We're going to sing it here in just a little bit. But I want to share with you the closing words of that hymn, because I think it helps us to answer, how are we responding? How are we responding to the gifts God is giving us? How will we respond to the gift of the Christ child from God's own heart? Here's the final words. We'll sing them in a little bit. It's the last verse. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. Amen.